South Africa's finance minister, Malusi Gigaba, believes there are many possibilities for the country's economy to grow. That was his message after arriving in Washington on Thursday to participate in the annual spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank. And despite the whisperings of economic policy changes down the road, Gigaba believes the focus will rather be on properly implementing existing policies that have been slow to deliver required dividends to the majority of South Africans. To tell us more about Gigaba's visit and the annual spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank, we're joined on the line now by Simon Marks. Simon, good evening and a warm welcome to Talk at Nine. Yeah, it's been many, many years since I've spoken with you, yes?
It has indeed, Karima. It's a joy to be talking to you and it's a joy to be back on 702.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell our listeners why we've spoken so long ago, but let's get straight to it. So South Africa's finance minister arrives, obviously, off the back of a very messy cabinet reshuffle and two downgrades. How did his visit go down?
Well, look, I mean, to be fair to Minister Gigaba, he had an almost impossible task here because of the context that you've just delineated. I mean, he's coming to this annual event in Washington, D.C., limousine gridlock in the spring sunshine in the middle of the U.S. Capitol as finance ministers from all over the world descend on the city for what is their big annual shindig. Mm. And his task here, essentially, was to come and try and persuade everybody that everything in South Africa is stable, everything is on a steady path. And yet, in the days and weeks prior to his arrival here, the man they all knew as South Africa's finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, was unceremoniously removed from the government. Malusi Gigaba elevated into his position. Standard & Poor's and Fitch, two of the three credit ratings agencies, downgraded South Africa's sovereign debt to junk status. That means to below investment grade. And so no matter how cogent an argument any single minister were to put across, after all of that, it was inevitable that he was going to be facing a large number of very difficult questions. And indeed, I did an interview with him that you may have seen on the ENCA, and before we started it, he sort of joked with me and said, I hope you're going to ask me easy questions because I've spent the last 2 days answering very difficult ones. You know, he knew that they were looking for reassurance.
Yes.
He knew that he was trying to deliver reassurance, but that's tough to deliver in the context in which he found himself traveling to Washington.
Mm-hmm. Simon, when you sat down with him, for our listeners, especially those who didn't see the interview on ENCA, what was his main message and how did he go about quelling the questions around policy uncertainty?
Well, the main points he made, and there were a couple of them. I mean, first of all, he had just come from a meeting with Moody's. That
yeah.
is the third credit ratings agency, which has not yet decided what to do about whether it may or may not downgrade South Africa's sovereign debt credit rating to junk status. And I asked him if he'd won any reassurance from the conversation that he'd had with Moody's. And he was very frank. He said no, they had offered absolutely no reassurance. They are planning to send a team to South Africa next month to take a look beneath the bonnet of the car, if you like, and try and get a real sense of what is taking place. But it was almost as though he was telling the South African financial markets to price in the concept of a downgrade from Moody's in a few weeks' time, telling the markets basically not to be surprised if and when that occurs. The other area that we talked pretty extensively about was the article that had been written some time ago but resurfaced for the Sunday Times by his economics advisor, Christopher Malacani. And it's important to note that Christopher Malacani was with him at these IMF World Bank meetings. And in that article, Mr. Malacani, who is the minister's economics advisor, had advanced the argument that the expropriation of assets from predominantly white minority capital firms should go forward, and that in some sectors those companies and those organizations should not be given compensation as a result of the expropriation. Now, in the days before he arrived here, Minister Gigaba put out a statement saying that the views of Christopher Malakani were being expressed in a personal context, not in his role as economics advisor to the minister,
yeah.
And that his views, and these were the words of the statement, were not necessarily government policy. Mm. And he repeated that phrase during the interview. But, you know, it's a curious phrase to use because it leaves open the possibility that it is government policy. Yeah. And that, I think, also fed in to many of the questions that he was facing here.
Mm-hmm. Now, the people that he met, the audience, obviously very, very skeptical. Do you think that he struck, you know, a confident note, considering that he was very frank about the fact that Moody's didn't necessarily buy it? What of the other institutions, such as the IMF and the World Bank?
Well, you know, Karima, it's very difficult to know. And that, too, is part of this story, I think. I mean, I've been covering these IMF World Bank meetings for many years and covering the visits of various South African finance ministers to these meetings for many years. And it wasn't that long ago that if you called the IMF or the World Bank or Moody's or Standard & Poor's and said, how would you like to give us an interview about, you know, your views on the outlook for South Africa?
Yeah.
That they would leap at the opportunity so to do. They don't do that anymore. And in fact, IMF and World Bank officials particularly were going out of their way over the last few days to avoid answering questions from South African reporters. They know that this is an incredibly complex and precarious time, and they don't want publicly to be contributing in any way to the discussion. Moody's also completely clammed up, refused to talk to reporters at all. And I think that that tells you part of the story. The minister was here saying, look, we've achieved stability at least now at the ministry. I'm at the helm. The immediate crisis is behind us. You, the international financial institutions, my fellow finance ministers, you can start dealing with me. I'm a safe pair of hands.
Mm.
But they all know that there's potentially more instability around the corner, the ANC policy committee right around the corner, a leadership election towards the end of the year, an electoral cycle that is beginning to heat up in South Africa. So again, to be fair to the minister, very difficult for him as the new man in town to damp down all of those concerns and make those officials feel comfortable to speak about their views on what's taking place inside the country.
Simon, a final question. Of course, here in South Africa, South Africans have taken to the streets saying that they want President Jacob Zuma gone. They've identified issues around corruption and particularly state capture as important issues that impedes good governance, particularly the question around protection of institutions. Did the issue of how safe the Treasury is from the hands of people like the Guptas and those who enable them, did that question even arise in the interactions with the minister and some of these people? Was it a question that he addressed in his sit-down with you?
Well, I can't tell you if those questions arose in the conversations that he was having at the IMF and World Bank. It would be perfectly normal for those conversations to be taking place between the minister and investors. And he said that he had spoken to some investors in Washington, D.C. He was then going to head up to New York for a handful of additional meetings with investors or would-be investors. There was due to be an investor roadshow, you will remember, right around the time that Pravin Gordhan was removed from government. In fact, he was in London kicking off an investor roadshow that was due to end up in New York when that happened. The minister says he wants to reorganize that investor roadshow for a little bit later this year. And those questions undoubtedly are critical questions for anyone thinking of putting his or her money into South Africa. They want to get an understanding of what the government's position is on the relationship of the Guptas with government, what the government's position is on stamping out corruption. They want to get a sense of what the political outlook ahead is likely to be, because there's one golden rule for the investment community. They crave stability.
Yeah.
And any time they see instability or threats to the investment that they might be putting into the country, they sit on their hands and walk away.
Absolutely. Simon Marks, thank you so very much. That's, of course, Simon Marks. He is the chief correspondent and also president of Feature Story News. And, of course, he sat down with South Africa's finance minister, Malusi Gigaba, when he was in Washington. And that joke I made earlier about not having spoken to Simon when I was working at the public broadcaster many, many moons ago, I was part of the leadership of SAFM that brought Simon Marks to the SABC. And, of course, Simon has, migrated in many respects with some of us who have left the SABC and kind of went to where we have gone. So Simon is also doing work for ENCA. And, of course, the head of ENCA's news there is Mapi Mhlangu, who is also a former colleague of mine at SAFM. So it was really great to speak to Simon, an excellent, excellent reporter and, of course, specialist, bringing really good insights from how the finance minister, Malusi Gigaba, was received in Washington.